Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here, hanging out with Henry Zabrowski.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm fantastic. Fucking here, dude.
Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. Without you, we're absolutely nothing. We're dead. So thank you all so much. We appreciate you. Today, We are so honored to have with us. She is the star of a new Netflix show.
Say the title correctly, Kissel. I need you to say it correctly at the top.
I'm going to nail it. I'm going to absolutely nail it. So January 28th, 2022, the show comes out entitled The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window.
Nice.
Kristen Bell is with us. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for nailing the title. It's a tough one.
No, I like it because it really pins it right on the head. Every single true crime, like it's the true crime along with it, because it's trying to sound super vague, but it's not, right? Because it really does tell the plot of the story in the title.
And at the same time, tells you absolutely no pertinent information about the show you're about to watch.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? It's all about real estate.
It's the beauty of this joke is that I haven't said these words, the woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window, to anyone who hasn't giggled. And I was like, yes, that. And there were talks, you know, because when you put it on a platform, this will be on Netflix. You want it to be searchable and it has to fit inside a box because everything is in boxes when you watch TV.
Of course.
There was talk of shortening it. And I said, this is the hill I will die on. Mm-hmm. We cannot shorten this title. It's so important, especially because this tone, we kind of invented it. I don't think anyone's ever subtly and sincerely made a satire about a psychological thriller because it's not broad. That's the weird thing. It's like actually played straight the first few episodes and then it gets increasingly absurd. And I just knew that this would tip people off to the tone we were trying to accomplish.
Well, I think that's what's so exciting about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also like all these things of like, not knowing reality from fantasy, and the character that you're introduced to, the protagonist, particularly in this psychological thriller world that is written by women for women.
Yes.
You're given this damaged, you know, baby bird of a woman, and you start rooting for her, and then you wonder whether she's actually at fault. And there's always those curves and those twists and turns. But it was really important for me to make her pretty self-absorbed. And so when she talks about the fact that she, can I ever paint again? Because she was a painter. Of course she was an artist. And she thinks how good she was and the world needs her paintings. And then we show the paintings and they're very average.
Sure. It's her world. Yeah. Is it a joke just how heavy the pores are in the wine glasses, it's hilarious. Like when you really see I was like, that's my home pour.
They are. So what we tried to do there was, show this woman who's deep in her grief and she drinks way too much. And so the prop department, we had these opaque red wine bottles. They were corking them and filling them with hibiscus tea. What we did is we got a wine glass that was big, but not so big that it was like out of the Sky Mall catalog or anything, you know, it didn't look like a joke. But then when my character poured the wine, every single bottle of wine was filled only to surface tension of the glass. So I never had to look. I could just completely pour, look around the room, and it would, every single time it would fill up to surface tension. And then I would slurp off the top and walk into another room.
So Kristen Bell, you have, this show, The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window. You have a history of playing strong female characters, specifically Veronica Mars as well, which we must mention because everyone's
also
a huge fan.
I do want to talk about Deadwood. For a hot minute, Deadwood. For a second, at some point. We'll get to it.
But when it comes to Veronica Mars and now your character in this new show, do you think you could solve a murder? If you saw a murder happen and you feel like you're on the case, you can do it. Kristen Bell, you are you. With your training as an actor, do you feel like you could solve a murder? And if so, what kind of crime do you want to solve?
Okay, this is a deep question. There's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah. What kind of murder are we talking here?
I have had a lot of training playing a detective. I picked up some things along the way.
A drinking habit. An ex-wife.
Born a very trusting and naive person. Like my nature is very trusting and naive. So all of the roles I play go against that because apparently I come across as like edgy and I don't know, tough. So I do think I could solve the murder, but I would be going against my nature. I would need the help of a pessimist. Like, that's why I work so well with my husband, because he doesn't believe anybody and I believe everyone.
Well, that's because of Ashton Kutcher. And I feel bad for him, because that's when you have friends who are always playing jokes on you and tricks. And I say, oh, I laugh on the outside.
Suspicious.
I laugh. But on the inside, I say, can I trust you?
Exactly. He lives in a world of pranks. I live in a world where everybody bakes each other chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
So
our friends, we tried to do pranks in our friend group, but then people got too mad.
People got emotionally, very emotionally engaged.
You can really scar people. But yeah. We had a little mystery on our street, which I will not go into the details of, but I did go through someone's trash.
Yes. You did?
Yes. 100%.
What did you find?
This is my fantasy.
Illegal. You know why? I looked up because I wondered if I would get in trouble for it. And I looked it up and it's like there was a Supreme Court case that once it's out by the curb, figure out.
Yes.
Is that? Oh, my God. I could already see you in page 6 in the New York Post. Celebrities, they're just like us.
Garbage.
And you rummaging through the trash and be like, I rummage through the trash.
Yeah. But we've watched so many. There's not an episode of Dateline we haven't watched. Like, we're constantly struggling for new ones. So I do feel like I could solve it. But you know, one time what my husband did to me, we're in the middle of watching Dateline and he grabs my phone. And by the time I took it back, do you know what he had put into my search?
What?
How to get away with murdering your husband.
Exactly. Whoa! That's how you set it up. That's fun games.
He said, don't try anything tricky because you'll get caught.
Boom. That's called husband insurance. We have to do it. We have to protect ourselves.
Well, how would you do it if you could? You got one chance. This is you're getting out of jail for free. You're a successful actor in Hollywood.
You could kill
one
him.
Murder.
You could
murder.
Kill him. Yeah.
You know what's so funny? We just played this game over quarantine, and I think I might have invented it. I said, okay, of our pod, we get a phone call that so-and-so is in jail. What are they there for? And we were so easily able to name everybody's crime. My husband's would definitely be some sort of aggressive road rage.
Yeah, oh, that's Henry's too. Henry's
that's
gonna,
me. Well, yeah. Tax evasion. Totally. Tax evasion.
Mine? Everybody agreed. This is sad. It would be Munchausen's by proxy.
Oh my God. Weird. What are you doing to these poor children that we make it up in our own head?
I mean, I would
Why
never.
Why do you want them sick? You want to make M&M?
I don't. But if I were to go insane, it would probably be Munchausen's by proxy situation where, like, I would keep someone weak so I could nurture them. And when my friends said that to me, I was like, yeah, that sounds right.
I could see you in a demented nurse's outfit with a dirty bassinet. Like, I'm not saying, I mean, you look lovely today, but you guys are morbid then. Like, you guys have like a actual like morbid side to you, like in terms of like, you like true crime, you like this show came from that? Like, would you say it came from, or you dabble?
Look. Do I have the Dateline magnets on my fridge? Yes. Did I ask Keith Morrison to narrate a family movie that I made for my family? Yes. Did he do it?
Please.
Of course. We do watch a lot of true crime. I love true crime. My mom was kind of morbid and liked true crime, so I think that's why I got into it. I mean, if you really talk about the psychology behind it, I think this was on a radio lab a long time ago, but I think my brain struggles to understand the why and the series of events. It's sort of when you drive by a car crash and you're like, what happened? Your brain wants to compartmentalize to make sense of it. And my brain can't make sense of a lot of violence. So I think that's why I'm interested in it. But I love true crime podcasts as well. And did you guys ever listen to Root of Evil, about the Black Dahlia murder?
Yes.
It took place 8 houses away from me.
Man,
really?
Back in the day when I was way more of a full-on dark, true, like, self. I used to put myself on true crime tours all the time. Like, we used to, there's audio of this on our show where I went to that house looking for, like, to take a picture outside of where the body was found. I got chased away.
They must love it when you show up.
Oh, the Dahlia house. Of the Black Dahlia house.
Yes, by the Black Dahlia house. And then they asked me to leave. But then what's funny is then I went to OJ's house, packed. Literally just like a dozen wine moms in front of it, all like posing and taking pictures in front of it, which is kind of funny, which is like we talk about all the time. People ask us like, we joke about how in 2016, the question was always like, why true crime? Why is everybody obsessed with true crime? But it seems like the majority of people like true crime.
See, I don't feel like I need the memorabilia. Like, I don't need to buy a Manson bathtub or something.
No,
but
it'd be dirty.
Yeah, but I like stories and mystery and making sense of things. And I also really like puzzles. Like, I'm a big puzzler and big crossword girl. So I feel like I like the storytelling aspect of it. Not necessarily, like, I don't know that I'd go. I mean, I've certainly seen the Sowden House because I drive by it all the time.
Yeah, you have to. It's your neighbor.
100%. But now it's owned by like someone who throws parties there. And I guess people like host parties there and they don't even know like literally how many people are buried in the basement.
Whoa.
Well, I feel like in New York, on the New York side of the coast, it's all someone has died in every apartment. But LA really is like the true crime capital of America. There's a whole true crime industry with the people that do the tours and people, all the kind of shit.
The entertainment industry.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. How many actors have died?
Looky-loos. But for me, I'm not a looky-loo. I don't need to see the murder weapon. I don't need to see any memorabilia. I like the right. psychological aspect of unraveling the story, which is, I think, why I liked this project, because I also really like comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had never seen... So our writers, Rachel, Hugh, and Larry, they're like, they went to the Groundlings. They're beautiful comedy writers, the best at what they do. And Rachel personally is obsessed with reading all these novels. You know, The Woman Under the Floorboards, The Rat in the Attic, whatever. And she was like, I think it's about time we start sort of affectionately poking fun at it. Because there's so many cliches when you watch a psychological thriller. And Tom Riley, who plays Neil in the show, had made a great point early on where... Like in the 80s, there was a bit of kitsch to a psychological thriller. Mm-hmm. It was more fun. And they've gotten really sincere lately.
Yes.
And that's kind of, as a comedian, when you want to take your punch, when you poke some fun at it and be like, oh, she was mixing wine and pills. I guess she, you know, has that line of, I know what I saw. You know, it's
I know what I saw. I always
she
say.
Saw
I,
it we twice. Always it was double vision. More reliable.
Yeah.
But can I also say one thing that I will blame your show for, and what it does is perpetuate like the idea of, oh, new dad in town has to have abs. Oh, that's what's attractive about him.
That's been a thing for a while, apparently.
That's what's so sexy about him.
Well, but I'll tell you this. A lot of these, you got to put it in this perspective. A lot of this genre was written by women for women.
Mm-hmm.
And so when my character is, you're introduced to her, she's grief stricken. She doesn't know who she is. She's making bad decisions. She sees a new attractive man move across the street. And then she starts to feel like he can solve her life. He's a good dad. He's got all, you know, and then
They never are.
They can be. Sometimes they are.
No.
Sometimes. But she's imagining how he can fix her. And that's where sort of the abs come in, is like he's always standing in front of the window a little bit too long, having just gotten off his Peloton. And she has
That's what I do.
Yeah.
All the time.
You've got if you want your neighbors to see, you got to give him a minute.
My wife yells at me. She says, get away from the window. But when it comes down to it, I was like, this is my house. They have to see. They're the one looking.
They got to know.
Absolutely. I love it. Kristen Bell, The Woman in the House across the street from the girl in the window. Check this show out.
It's really good.
It'll be on Netflix January 28th, 2022. That's this year.
Yes. Can I ask you, you were a young girl. You're on Deadwood. Deadwood's probably my favorite show of all time. I just want to ask, what was it like being in that world, like the old West world? Like when you get dropped into that.
Apparently they didn't swear so much in the real old West. They didn't curse that much.
But like, was it crazy to be on that? Because I know it's like a fully immersive set, right? Wasn't it like.
It looked like a real town and a lot of the buildings were practical. We shot it in Santa Clarita. The reality of the show, the day-to-day, it was very foggy, bad for the sinuses, because they put atmosphere in for every scene, which is where they sort of pump smoke in there, and then they have these big flags that they wave to make it look old-timey.
Do you ever feel like they're trying to torture the actors? Like, does the scene need this much smog?
It does look better. There were a lot of horses. There was a lot of mud. It was kind of a brutal shoot, but I will say this. David Milch was one of the kindest show creators I have ever come across. And you can say what you want about him. I had the most joyful experience on that set because of him. And I'll tell you what he did every single Friday. Every single Friday, he would gather everyone in the saloon that Powers Booth ran.
Oh my God. Was it functioning?
No, but we'd meet in there at lunch. We'd all bring our little trays, and he would have a huge stack of cash. Like he'd have $10,000 to $15,000 of his own money, and he'd put it in a fishbowl. No, he'd set it to the side. He'd put everybody's names in a fishbowl, everyone in the crew. And he would pull out a name and he would go, okay, for $750, John the Grip. John, thank you so much.
John the Grip, yes.
For shit and the atmosphere and thanks for being here. I love you. And he'd hand him $750. And he would go, oh, for K, for $1,000. And every Friday I watched him give away so much money because he was so grateful for the conditions that people were working in. And also, he had a ton of rescue dogs that would just follow him.
Oh, yeah.
So he was followed by like
eight dogs. We're big dog people. Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Well, it's good to hear positive stories coming from Hollywood because God knows we hear a lot of negative ones. But just lastly, my final, you know, kind of question for you with your unbelievable career. You've obviously inspired so many people throughout your
also acting. say hi to Darcy for me next time you say hello to her, because Darcy and I go way back, and she was watching her get that show and all the things that happened for her was just like she deserved. I've never met a person who deserved it more.
She's so great.
Agree more. Her inevitable ascension. Yes,
she was wonderful.
I'm sorry, so Kissel.
No. Just how was that experience? You know, how was that? Maybe the audience reaction, because I know something like Veronica Mars or what you're working on now in mystery and horror and all of the, like that community is really sticky and really fun and just like Deadwood, like Henry. As soon as we heard we might be speaking with you, Henry's like Deadwood, like he was like freaking out. Like, how has that experience been for you, knowing that you've helped motivate people? And maybe specifically young boys and girls who want to, who maybe feel like they are on the outside looking in at a world that they want to understand.
You know, I've stumbled into a lot of the great things that I've done. I stumbled into Veronica Mars as a random audition. It's not like I said, I'm going to play a female protagonist who is an ostracized character and comes back with strength and teaches girls. You know, I never said any of that. And I've certainly done projects that were just for entertainment value or fluffier. But when I work on something that has a rabid fan base, whether it's true crime or Veronica Mars or anything sort of that fits under the Comic-Con banner.
Yeah.
I always have more fun. And I think that's because, and also having done, you know, 12 Comic-Cons at this point.
Oh my gosh.
I love people that love things.
Yeah,
I do too.
I love it. I get so excited.
Yeah.
You know, when I watch it, when we're, you know, watching, I don't know, we're watching Squid Game or we're watching Yellowstone right now. Like, there's so many fun things out there. Stories are important. They can transport you. And I love people who are intense and role play and cosplay and love things because they love it. I mean, when we did Game of Thrones, every season finale, it was mandatory. You dressed up as a character. One time I rented a wheelchair so Dax could be Bran.
That's fun.
You know what I mean? Like, I just love people who have an intensity and a huge love for things. And so when you're invested as a viewer, it's so much more fun. So I guess I do gravitate more towards the projects that will have like a niche, really fun, engaged audience.
Yeah, they're the best and they love it.
Well, that's why, like, in our world too, it's really funny is that like I'm the same way. I love hyper passion people. And then I meet someone who's like, I love Son of Sam. And you're like, oh, good. Oh, you're one of those super fans.
That's great.
You're not a super fan. You're planning murders, sir. Right. And he's just like, I just needed to tell you, sir. I'm a big, huge fan of murder. And I'm like, well, you know.
Should be on the outskirts.
Thank you. January 28th of this year. It's coming up. The woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window.
It's really
Kristen
good.
Bell, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for giving us so much, a little bit of extra time too. We got bonus time. Oh my God. Thank you. Have a
Happy
wonderful
too.
Rest of your day.
Thanks guys. You too.
Live from your grave.
All right, there it was. Our conversation with Kristen Bell. She could not have been nicer and funnier and great.
She did a good job of not being visibly scared of us. You know what I mean? Because then I think she's used to seeing reporters.
Yeah, we obviously just do audio here, and she was dressed so much better than Henry and I.
She was looking good. We're both like, I'm at home in a shitty old shirt. You just rolled out of bed. We're both like looking at her, just being like,
Fernando can attest, I had to put the camera up because I just realized there's a massive toothpaste stain on my shirt. And that's why the camera is only at my neck.
That's
because I was like, she's going to see the toothpaste.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it looks like you're covered in jism.
It's just horrible, buddy. You just talked to one of the most successful people in Hollywood, and I just show up like this.
What Jesus are you gonna do?
Fucking
well,
Christ.
She doesn't know. She was just happy to promote her show and yes. have a good time. And we did that. And honestly, it was just nice wonderful. To talk to her. I used an opportunity to speak to Kristen Bell to talk to my friend. So there like because I do, you know, it's nice to see your friends go, but that's not good interviewing. And then
no,
she's looking at me she's no, you mean what are you gonna do? Am I Walter fucking Cronkite?
No, you're not.
Two Charlie Roses here?
No, we're not.
No, we're not. You know, Charlie Rose used to be a good interviewer.
Well, he still is, technically. All right, everyone. I mean, well, thank you all so much for just landing it right into the ocean.
Really nailed did it. Well
Anti
today.
Sully Sullenberg, this. The woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window. Henry and I have both had a chance to watch episode one of season one. Well, it's only one season right now, but who knows how many. How it might be many more. We don't know. But anyway, it's really fun. And so we think you guys will like it. So check that out. And thank you all so much for supporting us. And yes. we're excited to have whatever the content is that we get from Sirius.
We're getting the video.
We will have some really cool stuff.
Once we have video, we will replace the stream.
You can see the toothpaste stain yourself.
We won't hide that from you. And then also, just remember too, I think we should say this on the Patreon. Our Twitch is still going. So we still got going. And I'm hoping to do more solo streams. I don't know if Kiss will you do more Madden streams? Do you care about doing the Madden streams?
I'll do a solo stream. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because we've been traveling so much.
We've been traveling so much. But yeah, honestly, we're ready to start, you know, so we'll be back around. Honestly, I already missed the stream. I already missed the stream because of how much fun we have.
We still have more.
We have
episodes.
Like months of it left. Who knows when we're going to start the other fucking show?
Yeah.
I don't know when we're going to start it, but thank you for being here. Thank you for your goddamn money.
I do like we got to a breakdown. We got to a mental breakdown that you talked yourself into once again.
I did it.
Do you ever notice
this is my
that
fault.
You do that?
Yes.
It's a nice little insight into your. Into it's the almost, horrific whirling dervish that is your mind.
It's almost like, it's like I need two therapists at once. I need a therapist to just deal with on the other side and the other therapist that kind of needs to ref between all of the different thoughts. But then it's a lot of money.
A shock collar and maybe a dog cage.
Just put me into an asylum.
Aw. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. We love you. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.